because I just want to say something. The dog is grumbling, for those of you that can't hear that much from where you're sitting. He did. He likes a good bit of singing. So, my name's Lyndall. More of that in a moment. But I was just really caught up as we were worshipping, and I just wanted to start from this place with you this morning, saying to you, do you know, are you aware of how much God delights in you? Just as we were singing that song, just as we were singing to Jesus, we were singing about our amazing, beautiful Saviour. I was very caught up with the sense of the mutuality of that. You know, as you worship God, he looks so fondly and so favourably upon you and who you are. And one of the things we're doing today, one of the things that I'm hoping you're going to take away from today, is a little bit more of a sense of your own personality and how that affects the way you pray. More of that in a minute. But I wanted to ask you first, while I get some of the technology sorted out, I wanted to ask you if you'd have a think for me of a moment in your life when there's been a real you moment recently. Do you know what I mean by that? I give you an example, because it's always good to have an example on these occasions, isn't it? I was, this is a little bit of something God's been speaking to me about. Those of you who were here in June, I was talking about spacious places, and just the last few weeks, that message, interesting that I'm back here now, because that message has really come back to me a few times. I've been thinking about spacious places, and God's been speaking to me about joy, which is a fascinating topic and a very, that's a whole nother day's talk really, isn't it? I'm thinking about joy. And one of the things about me is that I'm somebody who's always loved Christmas. Are you one of those people, or are you one of those people for whom it's become a little jaded over the years? I cannot remember when it started for me, but from a very young age, I have been one of those people who absolutely loves Christmas. Everything about it, what some people disparagingly call the kind of Hollywoodization of Christmas or the Disneyfication of Christmas. I love all of that. I've got no problem with any of it. And actually, you know, one of the things that was said during the Olympics was that being in London, it felt like Christmas. I thought that was a very interesting observation, actually. Boris Johnson put it another way. He said, it's like London has been crop dusted with serotonin, which I think is actually a great way of describing it. But do you relate to what I mean by that feeling around at Christmas? Yeah, I thought it was fascinating. It's eminently British, this, that the way that experience of the Olympics, that kind of joyous, it's hard to find words for it, isn't it? The crop dusting with serotonin was experienced. The first thing everyone says is, people talk to each other on the tube. That being a great user of the tube myself, I can vouch for the fact that that is indeed a special thing. And that's what we begin to touch around the Christmas stuff. Do you know, is that sense? Do you know what I mean? That sense where people are looking, they're expecting, they're a bit more outward looking. There's a little bit more of a spring in people's step. And anyway, so I've always loved Christmas. I've always loved that aspect of Christmas. And so I began to think about joy, and God began to speak to me about joy. This was a couple of days before Halloween, and it was a fairly heavy time in my life and the life of some of those ladies who I support and mentor and disciple. And it was tough going. It was one of those weeks where you felt like you were walking through treacle. And I think it was lunchtime on the Monday, it's about 2 days before Halloween, I had a thought went through my head. I thought, when am I going to go Christmas shopping with my mum? It was me and my mum go Christmas shopping for a day every year when we can, and that's a great thing. But I remember thinking to myself, this is an entirely inappropriate moment to be thinking about that. It's hard, it's not even the end of October. I'm feeling distinctly unfestive in every way. It's hard going, and I'm far too busy to worry about that. And anyway, I don't think there's any time in the diary. So I just pushed the thought aside. Well, 10 minutes later, lo and behold, if I don't get a text message from my mum. We haven't talked about this year in any way at all. We have not referenced it once in any of our conversations. I get this text message from my mum saying, when are we going Christmas shopping? Well, knowing how long it takes my mum to write a text message, I'm pretty sure she had the thought at the same moment that I did. It's just it took her 10 minutes to text me. So I decided that might be the Lord. So I text back and said, well, the trouble is I don't have any free time. I've got no free Saturdays apart from the one right before Christmas or this coming Saturday, which would have been whatever it was, the 3rd of November. So she texts back and said, this Saturday is fine. So on the 3rd of November, there I was at 9:15 in the morning with my mum, who lives near here, so great dedication to get to Canterbury for 9 o'clock in the morning. There we were. We did 9 hours, bar a couple of coffee breaks, of Christmas shopping. I bought 30 presents, people. 30, count them. 24 people were catered for that day, I tell you. It's beautiful. It was a great thing. But there was a problem with the whole thing. It was a very productive, it's probably the best, most productive Christmas shopping day I've ever had in my life. The only problem was that in all of the 9 hours that we circumnavigated Canterbury's various very busy streets and shops, I did not hear one single Christmas song. Now, you will tell me that that's a good thing, because actually, really, on the 3rd of November, probably nobody should be playing any Christmas songs, and I take your point about that. My problem is that I was Christmas shopping. I was ahead of myself in the season. It was very early, and I was pressing on into the next thing, and there was no music to accompany me. This is, and to everyone I tell who knows me, they will say, Lyndall, that's awful. Oh, you poor thing. That's terrible, because I start playing Christmas music as early as possible in my own life, and were it up to me, I would put the tree up in September. I just would. My husband and my housemates do not feel the same way about it, so I have to wait until either the 1st of December or the first Sunday in Advent, whichever comes first. So there we were, walking around, not a single Christmas. Anyway, God said to me, just be aware that sometimes it's incredibly hard to press into the joy when the rest of the world is not there with you. And there was a word for that in that for me. Now, that's another talk again. But what I wanted to say to you was a few days later, this is the real me moment. A few days later, I was telling a friend of mine, it was 4 days later, so still only the 7th of November, I told the story to a friend of mine, and I said, oh, it was so frustrating, and there were no Christmas songs, and we were walking. Oh, sorry, need to tell you this bit briefly. Just before the end of the day, about 5:30, I walked along the high street with my mum, and there was a saxophonist playing a busker. And I thought to myself, do you know what would sound great? It would sound great if he would play Chestnuts Roasting on an Open Fire. That would be perfect. If he could play that, that would be great. And I didn't have the nerve to ask him, but in my soul, I was crying out to him, going, please, please play Chestnuts Roasting on an Open Fire. And he didn't. He didn't hear me, and he didn't play it. So I'm telling a friend this story 4 days later, and we're walking home towards my house, and we turn a corner, and there's a car parked just sort of parked up on the pavement right next to where we're walking, going nowhere. The engine is not on, and actually it was getting dark, so we didn't even know there was anyone in the car. And suddenly, from within this car, very loud, louder than is really humanly necessary, came Nat King Cole singing Chestnuts Roasting on an Open Fire. And I'd told my friend about the saxophonist moment and everything. And we both just burst out laughing because it was so totally inappropriate. It was so completely out of context. And after about, a line or two, whoever was in the car turned it off. And it didn't carry on anymore, probably because it was so loud he deafened himself or herself, she deafened herself, whoever it was. And anyway, it would have been unkind on the neighbours to keep it going, really. And admittedly, even on the 7th of November, you could argue it was a bit unseasonal. But I walked home thinking, God, that is so me. You knew that. You knew the song. It's that song for me. It's always that song. And God knew, and I've got no idea why that person ran. Maybe that person accidentally pressed shuffle on their iPod or something. And it just, and obviously they were like, oh no, I don't want to listen to that. But it was just for me as I walked past. And do you know, God knows us so well. We have a little prayer community in Canterbury, and we had an evening. We've decided that we're going to be a bit prophetic about this whole joy thing. We've decided that sometimes joy is the kind of thing we wait to happen to us, isn't it? Do you know what I mean? Something's happened. I feel really joyful. But do you know what? Joy in the Bible is also a command. Rejoice. And I find it fascinating that we don't have a modern word for the word rejoice. Couldn't you imagine going into a shop and saying, fie, rejoice, friends. It sounds terribly dated, doesn't it? There is no modern word for rejoice. Because we don't do it. It is not something that we view as a command. It is something that we view as a state of mind which happens to us. And when it happens, we're very happy to say, I am joyful. I'm happy. I'm buzzing. You can think of a number of, you know, modern idioms for joy. Being joyful. Can't think of many for rejoicing. Cheer up. Be happy. But even as I'm saying them, they all sound a little bit accusatory, don't they, really? We don't have. And the Bible's not accusatory about it. God is not. So me and my prayer community, we were talking about what it means to be joyful. And we decided we were going to actively practice joy. And it's been rather interesting. We decided we'd take a week each between now and Christmas. And we would, each of us would take it in turns to do something which for us is joyful. So on Wednesday night, it was the first person's turn. And he decided that what he wanted to do was to get us all to bring our favourite piece of music. Because he really loves music and he loves listening to music. He loves listening to music with other people. He decided what he really wanted to do was listen to music with his friends. So we all brought our own pieces of music. And it was a very joyful evening. Not all the music was joyful, but it was a joyful evening. It was great fun. We got to bring two, actually. I took the most incredibly infectious Christmas song I could find. It will not surprise you to hear. It's all about Glee and the Glee Christmas album, and I took a Glee Christmas song. That won't mean so much to some of you, but it was great. But everyone brought their own. But do you know what? We all sat there, and after each piece of music, we were looking at each other going, that's so you. That bit of music, that's so you. That's so you. We know each other well, and we were able to celebrate our us-ness, my me-ness. And I'm learning and I'm grasping that there is something about joy and something, again, about our spacious place, something about that place of rejoicing in God and Him rejoicing in us, which is about knowing who we are and being glad about that. I meet so many people who say to me, well, I'm not very good at this, or I'm a bit negative about themselves. Do you know what I mean? It's probably silly. We're very self-deprecating as Brits, you know. It's probably a bit silly, but I'm really into this. It's not silly. That's you. And while I get the technology sorted out in a moment, I want you to take a moment in sort of threes, fours, whatever the most natural grouping is around you, to share a really you moment. Maybe it was something random that happened to you that because you're you, you absolutely loved it. Or maybe it's something you did. Maybe you had a free afternoon. You thought, what should I do this afternoon? I know. I'm going to go and pick mushrooms or something. I don't know. I'm going to do some origami. I don't know what it is. When was your moment when you were most you recently? When did you feel like you were in your stride and in your element? And I want you to take just a few minutes to thank God together for who he made you to be. Whether you know the people in your group or not, it doesn't matter. You can thank God for making them who they are. And if you know one another and you want to say to each other, you know, you, what about you that I love is this, you feel free to encourage. This is not an encouragement-free zone today. You're very welcome to encourage one another. In fact, I positively encourage encouraging and rejoicing. So you're going to rejoice in who you are, and you're going to rejoice in who each other are, and you're going to thank God for it. And by the time you've done that, for which I shall give you approximately 10 minutes, we're then going to move on to talking about prayer. Go for it.